All right, so ready to dive into this whole data thing in pharma.
Let's do it.
You sent over this BioForum report, and I gotta say, it's a bit dense.
Yeah.
Even for someone like me who, you know, kind of geeks out on data.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like this whole data as a product idea, that's the big takeaway, right?
It is.
Especially as AI is becoming more and more important.
Yeah, and it's not just a buzzword. This report really digs into why pharma companies, even though they're practically swimming in data,
right,
they struggle to actually use it well.
Yeah. And that makes sense to me. It's like, you know, I've got all this data. What do I do with it?
Exactly.
What are some of the things that they're struggling with? Is it just a tech problem?
It's so much more than just the tech. I mean, the tech is part of it. They actually give this example in the report of a researcher who's trying to pull data from a bunch of different clinical trials.
Right.
Imagine you've got your electronic lab notebooks.
Mm-hmm.
You've got those super complicated clinical trial management systems.
Yeah.
Manufacturing execution systems. It's everywhere.
So it's siloed, basically.
Totally siloed. And it's not just even the different systems. It's the different departments, the different priorities. Getting everyone on the same page about data, that's a whole other challenge.
So instead of focusing on breakthroughs, they're fighting their own systems.
Yeah, it's a huge productivity killer.
So this data as a product thing, break that down for me a little bit.
Okay.
How does that solve these very real problems?
So many companies right now, they treat data like it's just a side effect. Like it's just something that happens. Not the main thing.
Interesting.
But if you flip that and you think about data like it's an actual product,
okay,
just like any product that you would buy, it needs to be packaged nicely.
Okay.
It needs like instructions. It needs some kind of quality control.
So it's not just about hoarding data. It's about making it usable.
Exactly.
You're saying I should be able to like find the data, understand it, trust that it's accurate, just like when I'm, you know, picking up a new cereal box at the store. I want to know what's in it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And the report actually does a really good job of laying out the key parts of what makes a good data product.
Okay, so let's break down this recipe for data success.
Yeah.
What's the first ingredient we need?
First up, you've got to have the data itself, right? The data set. But it's not just any data. It's data that has a specific purpose.
All right, so we're being intentional about the data that we're gathering.
Yes, very intentional. Like if you were making a cake, you wouldn't just throw any ingredients in there.
Right. What else goes into this data product?
Next, you need the code.
Okay.
This is what makes the data product actually work.
Right.
The report really emphasizes that the code needs to be well maintained.
Okay.
It needs to be adaptable. You need to be able to change it as things change.
So it's not just a one and done kind of thing.
Not at all. It's constantly evolving.
Gotcha. All right. So I've got my data. I've got my code. How do I make sure this doesn't just get lost in the shuffle?
That's where metadata comes in.
All right. Metadata.
Yeah. Think of it like the packaging for your data.
Okay.
It tells you what the data is, where it came from, who's responsible for it, all of that.
So no more digging through endless files trying to figure out what this data even is.
Exactly. Metadata is your friend.
Okay, I like it. So we've got the data, we've got the code, we've got it all packaged up nicely with metadata. But how do we know that this data is actually good? We don't want any bad ingredients in our cake.
Totally. And that's where data quality metrics come in.
Okay.
These metrics tell you how accurate the data is, how consistent it is, if it's up to date.
So we're making sure that our data isn't expired.
Exactly.
What else is important?
They talk about semantics, which sounds kind of complicated.
It does.
But it's really just about making sure that everyone's speaking the same language.
Okay.
Making sure that if I say batch or clinical endpoint, everyone knows exactly what I'm talking about.
So it's about clear communication, breaking down those silos.
Exactly, because those silos can really cause problems.
They do. They do. What's the last piece of this data puzzle?
Imagine you have an internal data library.
Okay.
A place where anyone in the company can go to find the data they need.
I like it.
That's the idea behind a data catalog and marketplace.
So we're making it easy for people to find and use the data. No more reinventing the wheel every time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So this is all starting to make sense now.
Mm-hmm.
But even with the best intentions, sometimes things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the report mentions that just assigning someone to be the data owner, that doesn't always work.
You'd think that would be the solution, right?
Right.
Just make someone own the data.
Yeah.
But it actually often makes things worse. You're just adding more to their to-do list. And when you've got deadlines and deliverables, data management always falls to the bottom of the pile.
Sense. It's hard to prioritize that sometimes.
It is. And the report gave this example of this one company, they put this very enthusiastic scientist in charge of managing all their genomic data.
Okay. Sounds promising.
It did, right?
Yeah.
But this person, they were already swamped with research projects, grant applications, mentoring students, you name it.
Yeah, that's a lot on their plate.
Totally. And guess what happened? The data management stuff, it just fell by the wayside.
So if just appointing a data owner doesn't work, what's the alternative? How do we actually make data a priority?
The report points to dedicated teams as the way to go. But not just any teams. They're talking about this federated data management approach.
Federated data management. Okay, you're going to have to break that one down for me.
It's a mouthful. I know. Imagine an orchestra, right?
Okay, I like where this is going.
You've got the conductor, they're setting the overall vision, but each musician, they're a master of their own instrument.
I'm with you. So in the data world, who's our conductor making sure everyone's in sync?
That would be the data governance body.
Okay.
They're setting the data strategy for the entire company, defining those standards, making sure the data is top-notch across the board.
They're setting the tempo, so to speak.
Exactly. But it's not about dictating every little thing.
More like setting the stage and letting the experts do their thing.
Exactly. So you might have one team that's all about manufacturing data.
Okay.
Another team that's focused on clinical trials. You get the idea.
So each team has its own specialty, its own instrument to play.
And each team truly owns its data from those early experiments all the way to when a data product is retired.
And within those teams, you've got your data owners, your stewards, engineers, analysts, all those folks working together.
Precisely. You need that mix of skills, right?
Absolutely.
To make sure the data is managed well from both a business and a technical perspective.
It's like having a well-rounded orchestra section.
Exactly. But just like an orchestra needs a great concert hall.
Right.
You need the right infrastructure for all of this to work.
Okay, let's talk infrastructure. What kind of tech setup do we need to make this whole data as a product thing a reality?
This is where the data and analytics platform team comes in.
Okay, so they're like the stage crew.
Yeah, kind of. But they're the ones behind the scenes setting everything up.
Right.
They handle the data storage, making sure there's enough processing power, the security, all that good stuff.
Making sure the lights are working, the acoustics are good, all the things we don't always see but are totally essential.
Exactly. And this platform team, they don't work in isolation. They're constantly collaborating with the data governance body, with those domain-specific teams.
Okay, so it's a team effort all around. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's take a step back. Where does all this data come from in the first place?
We're talking about a whole ecosystem of operational systems within a pharma company. Think research labs, manufacturing plants, that whole supply chain.
So this isn't some abstract data cloud. This is real-time information coming in from everywhere.
Absolutely. And the report actually gets even more granular, talking about different flavors of data products, each with their own characteristics.
Flavors. Okay, now you're speaking my language. Lay it on me. What kind of data flavors are we talking about?
They start with something called source-aligned data products. It's basically raw data straight from those operational systems.
No frills, just the raw ingredients.
Exactly. And in a highly regulated industry like pharma, that's crucial.
How so?
Because you need that clear lineage. You need to be able to trace back exactly where each piece of data came from.
For audits, for compliance, all of that.
Exactly. It's all about maintaining that chain of custody for the data. They give this really interesting example about a manufacturing execution system, or MES for short.
Okay.
It captures all this real-time data during drug production. So temperatures, pressures, materials used, the whole nine yards.
It's like having a live feed of the factory floor. That data must be so valuable for optimizing processes.
Oh, absolutely. But imagine each system speaking a different language.
Okay.
The data from the MES, it might not play nicely with the data from the lab instruments or the business software.
So even though the raw data is valuable, it's not exactly user-friendly or immediately insightful.
Exactly. It needs some work.
We need to turn those raw ingredients into an actual meal.
And that takes us to the next level. Aggregate data products. Instead of separate data sets for every single system,
Okay. We're
now combining and transforming that data from multiple sources into a more cohesive, standardized format.
So we're taking those raw ingredients, chopping them up, mixing them together, adding some seasoning.
Exactly. Instead of a bunch of separate ingredients, we now have a delicious, easy-to-digest meal.
Give me an example. How does this aggregation work in the real world?
Let's say you want to analyze the entire life cycle of a single batch of medicine.
Okay.
You've got data from the MES on the production process, data from the lab instruments on quality control, maybe even data from your business systems on the raw materials used.
So we're talking about data that spans the entire journey of that batch, from start to finish.
Exactly. And by aggregating all of that, you can start to see patterns and trends that you would have never spotted before.
Interesting.
Think about things like process optimization, figuring out the root cause of any issues, even predicting potential problems before they happen.
Well, it's like having a crystal ball for your pharmaceutical operations.
In a way, yeah. And the beauty of these aggregate beta products is that they can be used in so many different ways. You can build dashboards, generate reports, even feed them into those AI models we talked about for even deeper analysis.
It's like the Swiss Army knife of data tools.
Exactly. But it doesn't stop there. We've got one more layer to this data product take.
All right, I'm listening. What's the final layer?
Consumer data products. This is where we're delivering that final value to the end user.
Okay.
Whether it's through interactive dashboards, automated reports, or those AI-powered insights we talked about.
So this is where the rubber meets the road, where the data actually translates into action.
Exactly. All that work that we put into building these data products, it all leads up to this moment where it empowers someone to make a better decision.
I'm curious, are there different types of these consumer data products? What are some examples?
They break it down into three main types. First, you have your formal data solutions.
Okay. Think dashboards, reports, visualizations, maybe even predictive models. These are standardized, well-documented, and they're accessible to a wider audience.
So no more one-off spreadsheets or PowerPoint presentations with questionable data?
Hopefully not. Formal data solutions bring some much-needed consistency and rigor to how we analyze and use data.
Gotcha.
But sometimes you need to go off-road a bit, explore the data in a more flexible way.
And that's where ad hoc data analysis comes in.
Exactly. It's less about following a set path and more about blazing your own trail, asking those what-if questions.
I can see how that would be really valuable for researchers and analysts who are constantly pushing boundaries.
Absolutely. But it's not a free-for-all.
Right.
The report stresses that ad hoc analysis still needs structure.
Okay, so you're exploring but not totally lost in the woods. Exactly. You've got your compass, you've got your map, even if you are venturing off the beaten path a bit.
Makes sense. What about the third type of consumer data product?
Ah, yes. Application-level data solutions. Think about reports and dashboards that are built directly into the software that people use every day.
So the data is right there at your fingertips. Very convenient.
Exactly. Understanding the different types of consumer data products, seeing how they all fit together, that's crucial.
Because at the end of the day, it's not just about managing data for the sake of it, right?
Right.
It's about empowering people to make better decisions, faster, more informed decisions.
Absolutely. And that brings us to another really important point that the report highlights, the human element of all of this.
Okay.
We've talked about the what's of data products. Now let's talk about the who.
Because it's not just about the technology. It's about the people, the organization, the culture. The report really seems to emphasize that.
It can be so easy to get caught up in the tech and all the data stuff that we kind of forget that it's really about people.
It is about the people at the end of the day. It's been fascinating exploring this data as a product concept with you today.
Mm.
And I think it's something that a lot of people, not just in pharma, can learn from.
Absolutely. Data is everywhere these days.
So much data.
And figuring out how to manage it effectively, how to turn it into something valuable, that's a challenge we're all facing.
It is. And this report has given us a lot to think about. So for anyone listening who's feeling overwhelmed by the sheer volume of data out there, remember, it's not about trying to boil the ocean.
It's about taking it one step at a time, asking the right questions, and building those strong foundations.
And who knows, maybe you'll even start to see data as less of a burden and more of a strategic asset.
That's the goal. Data has the power to drive real change. And I'm excited to see what the future holds as more and more organizations embrace this data as a product's mindset.
Me too. It's an exciting time to be in the data world, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been another insightful deep dive. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your expertise.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in.